This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, you might have heard of the Ollie Foundation. It's a brilliant local charity that's dedicated to delivering suicide awareness, intervention and prevention training by empowering professionals and young adults in their own communities to lead suicide prevention activities. So it's a really worthwhile organisation, but not the kind that we usually feature here on Environment Matters. But like so many mental health charities, the Ollie Foundation is increasingly recognising the huge benefits that being outside in nature can bring. Not just using growing things and green spaces as a nurturing environment for positive mental health, but also helping young people champion sustainability to overcome eco-anxiety. Now, they already have a monthly group that meets outside, their Grow and Gather group, but they've got ambitious plans to reach many more groups of children and young people using their outdoor space, and they need our help to do this. I spoke to Debbie Roberts, CEO of the Ollie Foundation, and I started by asking her about where their outdoor space is and what it's like.
Yes, thank you. Well, we were very, very excited when we were able to take on what really is now a community garden in the Sandridge Road allotment space. So there we have a small lawn and we have three raised beds there, and there's a community shed so we can make a nice cold or hot drink. And it's a space that we use in a variety of ways. We've held wellbeing events there, we've held grief cafes there, we've held events for young people. It's a very flexible space, actually, and it provides what we feel is a great benefit to the community and something that has lots of potential. So it's lovely to be on here talking about it today.
Yeah. And what difference do you think it makes being able to hold events outside?
For anyone that doesn't know the space, you probably wouldn't know it was there. It's sort of within sort of the centre of four roads. So it's a square. When you're in the middle of it, it's just birds and quiet and the wind rustling in the fruit trees. And it is so lovely for people to be in that space. It is very calming. You know, we can go into the science of it. We know that getting your hands in soil, there are microbes that can help with the well-being and being together. There's been so much recently, as we all know, where we've been forced to be apart. So being together in nature is just wonderful.
It sounds like a haven in the proper sense, a little sort of cocoon of loveliness there. It does sound really nice. So on the 2nd of September, and that was UN International Youth Day, you had a special Grow and Gather at your community garden. Can you tell us what you did and how it went?
So on the first Saturday of every month, we run a Grow and Gather group. In August, there was, as there is every year, a Youth Awareness Day. And we just thought, you know what, we've got this Grow and Gather group coming up at the end of the summer. People are still on holiday. Perhaps this will be a lovely thing for young people to come to. And it gives us a real chance to connect with younger members in the community. We actually ended up with very young people. And I think a lesson for us was potentially don't run an event aimed at teens that starts at 9:30 in the morning. We had some lovely children attend. What we actually had, which we have every month, we have our lovely pastries and tea and coffee and herbal teas. We have our plant swap and seed swap. And for people that want to learn, there's always someone on hand that can show you how to make a compostable container for a seed or a plant. But on this week, we had also a talk from Sustainable St Albans, which was just wonderful. Not so much as of a lecture, but just the ability to chat with somebody and talk through what's available locally, as well as on a wider scale. And then we ran our Zentangle session. And for people that are not familiar, Zentangle is a mindful art class where you need no artistic skills whatsoever, and yet you end up creating a beautiful piece of artwork. It's a bit like doodling. Doodling is a sort of subconscious thing, whereas Zentangle is creating a pattern, but it's done consciously. But it is very, very relaxing. So we ran that. We run that anyway every fortnight online, and have done since the end of 2020. But occasionally we're in the garden doing these live sessions, and it's just lovely for people to come together and create this beautiful piece of artwork. They call them tangles. They're just very small, maybe 4 or 5 inches across. And at the end, we put them together to make a sort of mosaic. So you've done something separately that you take home, but also seeing it all together, it allows you to have an experience of your uniqueness, but the connection you have with others and how you create a larger whole.
Indeed. And it's something so simple, isn't it? It doesn't require expensive, difficult to find materials. You could even presumably just be using the back of an old piece of A4 or something like that. And yet what you're creating is something very beautiful and individual, and a little bit of you in there as well. That sounds lovely.
So tell us a bit more about your International Youth Day event.
The Saturday was as much to announce ourselves again to the young people in the community who might want to get involved, because we are really clear with young people that we have worked with over the years, it can be a really important space to find yourself, to enjoy the company of others, to be with others. And what we wanted to do very much was allow people that opportunity to understand what they could do for themselves. We've probably all come across the term eco-anxiety. And one of the things that we have been very aware of, as I'm sure your listeners are probably aware too, that part of the problem is the sense of not being able to do anything. And so part of the solution surely has got to be helping people understand what they can do for themselves. So if we can provide a space where people can come either just for their own well-being, or so that they can come and learn with a really actively and purposefully, I want to understand. And for our young people to have a sense of maybe not purpose necessarily, because that's the doing of being a teenager, isn't it? Growing up and understanding your place in the world. But understanding that you can grow chamomile, and you can harvest that, and you can make a tea that actually helps you sleep and feel and is nice. Understanding what you can do with dandelions. We may think of them as a weed because they sprout up everywhere, but they're a great medicine. Understanding all these things, we feel at Oly, is something that we can do for our local community. We're also deeply aware, and it's not specific to St Albans, it is a problem everywhere. And that is the number of young people who didn't return to school after the lockdown. We know that for some of them, we saw the problems, of course, that it created for people's well-being. But, you know, for some children who were being bullied, not going to school was great. For those children that had deep anxiety and were really struggling with the environment of school, not having to go wasn't the big problem other people might have. So there are lots of reasons why kids haven't gone back to school, and some of them are deeply sad. You know, some young people are really struggling with anxiety. But here's a nice open space where they can be.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. And we know that children not being in school is a huge problem at the moment. Are there any other groups that you would like to set up? Anything perhaps that interested listeners might be able to help with?
What we'd also like to do, and this is something that hasn't happened yet, but we're really, really keen, especially for any of your listeners who are interested, we want to start up a mother and top group, mother, carer, anyone looking after a young child who has the responsibility of a young child not yet in school. We're hoping to have a session that runs regularly throughout the year, where it's just nice for you as an adult to come and have a cup of tea or chamomile or mint or whatever else is growing in the garden, and also somewhere where your little one can play in the soil, pull up a carrot, pull up a potato, help plant a seed. You asked me about how do we get young people involved. Well, let's start early. And that literally is it, planting a seed.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because that was something else I wanted to ask you about. Can you tell us about your planting a seed resources?
Yes, thank you. We have a curriculum on our website called Planting the Seed. And anyone can download it. So if you are a home educator, or if you have a child out of school, or if you are listening in as a parent or a teacher, it's available to all schools. And it looks at taking a seed and what to do to grow that seed so it can flourish. And then as part of that curriculum, the question then extends to, and what do you need to flourish? So it is literally planting the seed, both literally and emotionally and figuratively.
I'll say it for you. There we go. I love that idea. As you say, it works in two ways. But I also like that you're a charity who's dealing with some children and young people who have really quite serious mental illnesses, and it's to do with suicide prevention often. Planting a seed is something that you do with hope for the future, isn't it?
Exactly.
And I love the way that by planting a seed, you envision a future when you will be harvesting or being able to enjoy the plant that you've planted. That is a beautiful thought, isn't it?
And do you know something? It's only now you saying that back to me that it occurs to me that one of the things that so many people worry about. Because yes, as you mentioned, as a charity, our core work is suicide prevention. So many people worry that they could plant a seed, that they could put an idea in someone's head when it comes to suicide. And so many people are very nervous about having that conversation or how they would have that conversation. And the truth of the matter is, most of the time, there is absolutely no way you could put an idea in someone's head. What we tell everyone who comes on our training is that there are a couple of exceptions, and that is if someone is experiencing psychosis. The other occasions where you wouldn't talk to somebody is if they were high or drunk.
So is your hope that your beautiful community garden, your lovely soothing green space will be an easier, lower pressure place to perhaps have these conversations?
That would be the aim, yes. So we are, as I say, we are there right now. It's the first Saturday of every month, but we are aiming to offer a range of different sessions for young people at different times, and maybe young people who are represented in different ways. So as I said, we want to start up a group for very little tots, but we also want to start up a group for those who are out of school or maybe home educated. We also want to have a group for our neurodivergent teens. If there is one group of young people that we have been most worried about over the last few years, it has been our teens with autism. They have been particularly vulnerable for a number of reasons. So we very much want to put on a group that really focuses on things that allow them to feel comfortable and nurtured and heard.
Well, it sounds like you've got some lovely ideas to help a huge range of children and young people there. If any of us know somebody who we think could benefit from your services, what should we do? And where's the best place to find out more about the kind of things you're doing?
Well, we're across most platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you follow us on social media, you will be up to date on all the things we're doing. You can look at our website, www.theolliefoundation.org. You can equally drop us an email at contactus@theolliefoundation.org. And if anyone listening would like to get involved, maybe they used to garden or they used to teach or anything that springs to mind based on our conversation today. We can't do this without volunteers. So it's both the volunteers we're looking for as well as the benefactors of this group, those that would come and attend. So right now, we're looking for so many people to help us grow and gather, like our name suggests.
Thank you so much for telling us all about it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I was talking there to Debbie Roberts, CEO of the Ollie Foundation, and I'll put a link to their website into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And I know that Debbie would love to hear from you. If you even just wanted to find out more about how you could use your skills to help the children and young people that Debbie told us about. So what do you think? Do you find that being outside helps your mental health? I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. Right, a quick reminder for you. Don't forget that you've only got until the 24th of September to respond to the St Albans District draft local plan consultation. Now, you'll remember that this plan guides how the area will develop over the years up to 2041. It looks at three things: making the economy strong, helping communities be healthy, taking care of the environment, and it sets out where in the district the new houses, for example, will be built and the environmental standards that they will have to conform to. There's lots more in it about things like transport, green space and wildlife, so you can see how the provisions in this local plan could have a huge impact on the sustainability of the district over the coming decades and beyond. Now, you'll find links to how you can find out more about the draft local plan and how you can have your say on it on the homepage of the St Albans District Council website. Really is very clear where you can do that. And if you'd like to hear Councillor Chris White, leader of St Albans District Council, talking about the local plan here on Environment Matters, then head to the podcast page of mix926.com. And if you're looking for inspiration for the kind of comments that you might like to make on the local plan, then local environmental organisations like Sustainable St Albans have some suggestions. Just keep an eye on their websites and social media as they are working on their thoughts for how the draft local plan could be improved as I speak. But do respond though, as I said, the impacts of the local plan will be far reaching. So best to have your say whilst you have the opportunity. I'll be back at the same time next week when we're going to be hearing about this year's Solar Together scheme. But until then, thank you for listening.